Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, it's Caroline from G-Thanks Just Bought It, reminding you that in between episodes, you can find me on Instagram at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod. You can find products that don't make it onto the episodes and recommendations from listeners like you. So before you start this episode, give it a follow and say hi in the comments. And for a full list of every product we featured on G-Thanks, visit gthanksjustboughtit.com/episodes. See you there. Hello, and welcome to another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought, what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Sally Tamarkin.
Sally, it's been like a month since we recorded.
It's been a while.
A while. We took a, let's call it Mental Health March.
Sure, I love that.
Self-care March.
Dry
self-care
January.
Self-care spring. Yeah.
Wet February.
Self-care March. Mental Health March.
Yeah.
It has been a journey. Thanks for letting me take a little bit of a break.
My pleasure. I love breaks. I love rest. I love R&R. I love mental health days. So mm-hmm. I love things being canceled. So you just never hesitate to cancel anything with me.
Isn't it fun? I love making a plan, but what I love more is canceling that plan.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I'm happy to be back. So what have you been up to in the last month? The last time we really talked was sort of the hunt for your sweatshirt. Do you want to fill in listeners who might not be in the Facebook group? For whatever reason, not judging, but maybe you're not into Facebook. I get that. But what ended up happening after we recorded that episode? Tell us.
Something glorious, Caroline. So first of all, like, you unleashed the sleuths in the group, mm-hmm. who you showed them pictures of me in the hoodie. We like described it a little bit, and then like they just like went off and found a lot of things that like were pretty close, but not the exact thing.
Right.
One amazing hero. I should probably have their name pulled up.
Sarah Parks. I remember.
Sarah Park. One amazing hero named Sarah Park found the actual hoodie, and it is also in the exact size that I needed.
Yes.
So I am the proud owner of that. I immediately bought it and it was like $9. And then I thought that someone else had found it as well, and I ordered that one. And it turned out to not be that when it arrived. But again, it was like $5. So I'll donate it and it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But the triumphant return of my favorite hoodie. And the other thing that was really cool that happened is that someone else in the group was like, oh my God, this is my white whale sweatshirt. I wore this.
Oh, I never saw that comment.
Yeah. They were like, I wore this until it like disintegrated off my body. And I asked their size so I could keep an eye out. So I'm still looking for them, but like the sleuths in the group figured out. This is like kind of, I think, the most important part. They figured out what to search for to find this sweatshirt.
Right. And that's what we were having problems with. And if I'm recalling correctly, because this was like 3 or 4 weeks ago at this point, was the triangular situation called the Dorito?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Did you miss that? Oh, someone was like, oh, I work in like fashion design and this is, believe it or not, called like a Dorito seam.
How could I have missed that? That's like the
what
best
did you find?
Thing.
Well, that's the problem with the Facebook group and like the fact that like hundreds of comments come in at once is like you could be reading an entirely different sort of subsection of the conversation.
Totally. Yeah. So what I found was funnel neck as a way of describing, which I think the thing is with this sweatshirt is that even if the way the neck has a formal name. Most people don't really know what it is. So when they go to sell it, they're like kind of doing their best. And the thing that made it come up at least on one site was Funnel Neck. It also brought up a lot of other things that aren't this and are, I think, a more traditional funnel neck. But either way, that was the key. And I'll have to use Dorito too and see what that does, because my search is not over. They made this sweatshirt in at least, they made it in black, light blue, dark blue, gray, orange. They made it in 5 colors that I'm aware of. And I'm not going to stop until I have all of them.
You want to get the full collection. Did you feel like – so I know a lot of people were like, it could be like a little bit of this. It could be a little bit of that. I know there were like different variations on this hoodie. But the one of the ones that you end up ordering via Sarah, her find, was the exact right one. And have you been wearing it?
The exact one. Oh yeah, I got it. I washed it. I put it on and like didn't take it off for days. We went to
the Bodycon sweatshirt.
The Bodycon sweatshirt. We went to we've had a bunch of trips recently, and the first one we went on, I packed it. I immediately, it was coming with me everywhere. And when I put it on, Andrea was like, "It's back." Like she like recognized it for its like how iconic it is, which was fun. Yeah.
We have to get more pictures of you in it. Because I don't think there are enough, honestly.
There aren't enough. I know. We need to have more. We need to have at least 50. So
like an album of you hanging out with this sweatshirt. Not necessarily wearing it, but like swinging on the swings with the sweatshirt.
Having
on
coffee.
Another swing.
Yeah,
having
totally.
Coffee.
Yeah.
Recording a podcast with the sweatshirt.
Definitely. It's going to be
happy
like,
for you. And it took like one day.
Yeah, it was instantaneous. I can't I can't possibly overstate. We should start like putting cold cases in the Facebook group, because
truly,
these people will solve them.
Yes, I know. It we need to ramp up the stakes or something. Like, I don't know. I feel like at the time of this recording, the really anticlimactic indictment of Trump happened yesterday, and I'm ready for like the Jesus to like find evidence, and well, not like it would be that hard in this case, I guess, but really kind of present the case.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, to ensure the maximum punishment.
Do you know what I think they'd be really awesome at is like, do you know how in like your Law and Orders, your CSIs, you there's like video of someone committing a crime and you can see like a logo on their shirt or something,
yes,
or like their sneakers. And then the whole thing becomes about figuring out like what that item of clothing is, where it's sold and who bought
that's
it. I feel
so
like that's
true.
Yeah, like that's
really
the crime
the money.
We need to put the Jesus on.
Law and Order really loves a you know, the track marks that were in the mud by the body could only be left by this like one type of shoe that was manufactured here. Like, yeah, they would take, it would be like 12 minutes. That episode would be half the time it would take to do another episode. If we,
yeah, they'd wrap up the whole series because
it would
be
done.
Solved.
They wouldn't even need any more Law and Order episodes. And that's really saying something. That's so funny. That's a really good idea. And I'm sure that there are, how can we find cold cases that are specific to clothing? We need to figure out how to search like database of crime.
That's like the first step. That's the first mystery that needs to be solved.
Yeah, exactly.
But I feel like once we have that, we're unstoppable.
Exactly. So I took a little bit of a month off, obviously in a little bit of a self-care sort of time of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And did so much shopping.
Nice.
In a way that suggests I have never understood what I know to be true, which is that like buying something doesn't change anything,
mm-hmm.
but it does give you a little bit of a dopamine rush.
Sure.
For the time being. And what I have decided that I'm really into right now, Sally, I have to tell you, is I've been looking at vintage matchbooks on like Etsy.
Oh, I love that.
There are people who collect them and then sell them in like lots of like 5, 10, 15, 20. And I found at a thrift store recently a crystal trifle like platter. Do you know, like a, it's like a bowl on a stand.
Yeah. It's like, if a martini glass was huge.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. And I found one of those at a thrift store and it's really pretty. And I decided I am going to buy a bunch of, I'm going to like pour over every single person on Etsy who is selling vintage matchbooks. I'm going to find the lots that I like the most and I'm going to fill this trifle dish with vintage matchbooks. And that took all of like a day, but it really was a really fun activity for me. And so I have now been just leaning into like setting up sort of my own sleuthing hunts to occupy my mind at a time. So right now I'm really into depression glass. Do you know what depression glass
is? I don't.
It's just like colorful glass, probably because it was popular during the period of the depression. I wish I had actually Googled it before. I had, let me send you like a, you'll know it when you see it. It was glassware made between the end of the 20s, the end of the 30s, but it's like usually like green, pink, and orange. And they have them at like, it's something that you can easily find at thrift stores, but it's not so ubiquitous that like, it's not, doesn't take the fun out of finding something.
Totally. Totally. So, there's like a little bit of a hunt.
A little bit of a hunt. And then I've been finding these little depression glass bud vases for little flowers. And I bought a few of those. And honestly, like, I know it's not going to solve the world's problems and it's not going to solve my problems. It would actually sooner solve the world's problems before it solved my own.
Fair.
But I actually enjoyed the process. And so I was excited to tell you about my new matchbook collection sitting in the trifle dish.
No, I love that. That sounds awesome. It's nice to do like a little, to have a little project to be like,
yeah.
Cause you know, just shopping is also fun, but to be like, okay, I have a little project. I'm looking for a certain thing. It's so yep. I can make this little like vignette or whatever. I love that. I think that sounds great.
Yeah. I am, you know, if I can throw money at the problem, great. If sure. I can shop away the sads, also great. Does mm-hmm. it only last, you know, but a moment? Yes.
Yeah.
Am I grateful for that moment? Also, yes.
But maybe you'll look at your trifle dish of vintage matches in like a year and think, this is what I was doing to like occupy my mind in it when I was like, I needed a little something, and it'll like make you feel the way. So I don't know. I think it's like,
that's true.
You know, it's like nice to have these little things.
Yeah, it will take on its own sort of sentimental meaning beyond what it means in its like historic context of, I don't know, depression glass trifle dishes.
It's also like, I think it's kind of like sometimes like, because it's so easy to buy stuff that you just end up throwing away because like things are cheaply made and,
right.
Or like you get something on a whim and then you realize you don't really want it and you just kind of can't help but think it's going to end up in a landfill. But it doesn't, that's not really what you were doing. Like you were like engaging in like a thoughtful thing around like decor. And mm-hmm. I think that that's a different thing. I like that. I love that.
I'm very into a thrifting moment. So every time now I pass a thrift store, I'm like, I have to go in and see if they have any depression glass.
Nice.
Which is, you know, it's like fun. It's like it occupies the mind for a moment.
Absolutely.
I feel like, I don't know how your Q1 shaped up, but I feel like because I keep saying out loud, like the beginning of this year really kicked my ass, that more people are saying to me like, oh, me too. But like, has this like first quarter of the year kind of like sucked for everyone? Like, I feel like everyone is just like going through it. I don't know if it's just, you know, the doldrums of winter again, and LA had a particularly rainy winter, which is really unusual for our parts. But I feel like everyone is like having a hard time getting it up for the day every day. And I'm wondering how you're feeling, how you're doing. Oh, you just cut out and I'm not sure why.
I muted myself because there's much thumping and I was trying to not get it picked up.
Sally has thumping workers on their roof right now. And we were like, oh, should we still record? And then we were like, this is the first day in like weeks that I've, anyway, you know, woken up and been like, let's do it. Let's do it. So don't mind the thumping and instead celebrate the fact that I'm here, you know?
That's what it's about.
Turn it back around on me. But yeah, so Sally, how are you doing? What's your Q1 been like?
My Q1, I like that question because rarely am I asked how like I'm doing in a particular like fiscal quarter. But
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm like, things have been okay. I think that like January through March is like kind of the twilight zone of months of the year. It's just like, especially
the Monday of the year.
It is. Yeah. Especially if you're like, it's even, you know what it is though? I don't even think it's the Monday. I feel like it's the Wednesday where you're just like, it just feels endless. Like, can I just get to the other side when it's going to be better? Especially
you're
if
like, you're, I've been here for a really long time and I'm still so far away from the break.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Exactly. It's the Wednesday of the year.
It's the Wednesday of the year. And I think, especially if you're in a place where the climate, like, for example, in the Northeast, where you really want winter to be over, so it's like a little warmer and a little sunnier. It's just like it. I feel like it's a depressing time of year. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, like my Q1 has been relatively okay. But
okay, don't brag. Don't brag.
Sorry. You're right. I need to be a little bit more modest.
Well, I'm glad someone's having a good one.
Yeah.
Do a lot of trips. Did you were these driving trips?
Yeah, we took some driving trips. We actually have one more. We went to Boston, we went to South Carolina, and we're going to New Haven for Passover next week. So it's nice. Like it's a lot of, and like we love a road trip. We're having fun, but I also am longing for a little bit of time just like in my home. It's like enough already with like the getting in the car and leaving Miles and Manny, who sort of like decompensate and lose their shit every time we leave. And now we're like leaving and then coming back so much that they're all like, they're all messed up from it.
They have cat sitters, right?
Yeah, they do. No, what if like we just left and it was like, Miles, you babysit Manny because Manny's the younger one. You're in charge, buddy.
Right. We're going to just leave this big heaping bowl of food.
Yeah.
Modulate yourselves.
Yeah.
Have you been using any of your car purchases for these trips?
Yeah, we definitely have. The cup holders, the trash can. But you know what I forgot to do is like we have now twice been caught in just torrential downpours, the kind where you just really can't see in front of yourself and it's like unpleasant and scary. And both times, it happened once and I was like, I have to reapply the Rain-X. I forgot.
Yeah, I was going to say, got caught in a different, you forgot the Rain-X.
The thing about Rain-X is that it really is only effective if you apply it to your windshield.
I hate that. It's like you can buy it all you want. If you don't actually use it, nothing's going to happen. And that's rude to me.
It's rude.
Because that means I'm it's a so good product. At the buying. Right. Exactly. I'm it's so like, good at the buying. I'm not good at the applying.
Wake me up when you figure out how to make this do its thing without me having to apply it. So, So that was annoying and frustrating, but the cup holders are great. The trash can is great. You know, we got our car snacks. We got the emergency thing in the back. Like,
incredible.
Yeah. I think I forgot to tell you, I went up to, I was visiting a friend in Albany and there was like a big snowstorm and I was trying to make the decision, like, do I leave now and try to like outrun the storm or do I stay here until it's over? And I really, really, really didn't want to stay till it was over. So I was like, I think I can sort of outrun the storm. I couldn't. I was like in the storm, but it ended up being.
When was this?
This was like February or January. Mm-hmm. It was a couple months ago.
Okay.
And I ended up driving in the storm. And there was like a little while where I was like, oh man, I think I should maybe like pull over. But I knew that the weather was like, I knew that I was going in the opposite direction of the storm. So I was like, if I just like stick with it, I'll pass through it. I say all this to say, I was like, I could get stranded in the snow and what would I do? But I had my emergency kit. So it had those like Mylar blankets. It had snacks. It had like road flares. So I feel like I really just, it would have been like a little camping trip.
Yeah, you would have been fine because you've been prepared.
Totally.
I know, it almost sort of being that prepared makes you sort of want to just drive into the eye of danger.
Totally.
Just to and see just that you could do it.
Become a storm chaser.
Just become a storm chaser. Exactly. I welcome spring with open arms. And I have to tell you, spring, least favorite season. So it is kind of incredible that I'm looking forward to it. I love winter. Not this winter, but I love winter.
In general. You love a Christmas vibe, right?
Love a Christmas vibe. Of course. And also, you know, haters will say there's only 4 days of winter that is actually the Christmas vibe because it's not winter until December 21st. And haters do say that to me often.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, they leave anonymous notes in my mailbox. I love a Christmas vibe. I love like that week between Christmas and New Year's. I've grown to love it. That does leave a very long, essentially 3 months of non-Christmassy winter. But I don't hate it. I've really tried to sort of brand winter in my head as like, you know, if we're part of nature, if humans are part of nature, everything in the winter goes into hibernation. Everything in the winter takes a break before it can come back full force. And so this winter especially, I was like, I have to do that. I have to take a break. I mean, it is like a very calming thought for like 5 seconds and then you go back to panicking.
But then you shop and that calms you down and then you go back to the
thought. Right, and just like most things in nature, you go to the thrift store.
You can go shopping.
You go shopping. But I'm looking forward to spring. Spring in the Northeast bothers me so much. I've always said this and I don't know if it's some sort of sensory thing for me of like that first 60 degree day where everyone's like in like a t-shirt, but then there's still no leaves on the trees. It like really bothers me. Like it's just the juxtaposition has always really just driven me batty. In LA, of course, there's leaves on the trees at all times. But being in New York for the last 3 weeks, I went home and spent time with my family and driving around and being like really aware poetically even of just like the sprouting tulips and the daffodils and like things the buds on the trees. I was like, oh my gosh, like this is really, you know, the season of hope, the season of rebirth. And I was like, I must be in a really dark place to be absolutely so seriously being like, oh my gosh, the tulips.
When you're appreciating the natural world, that's how you know things have gotten really bad.
It really is. Me doing that, it is so bad. I mean, like is when you know that you've been in a dark place.
Totally.
But I'm happy about spring. And I was wondering if you engage in any sort of spring cleaning ritual. I do more of like a winter cleaning ritual usually. Sure. But you know, the spring cleaning's called that for a reason. Are you engaging in any sort of home projects or outdoor projects?
Well, let me take this opportunity to shoehorn in a mention of the fact that my birthday is in 2 days we're recording this.
Yeah.
And I say that to say one of spring's redeeming qualities for me is that my birthday is in it. But I will say, I just want to quickly just like weigh in on spring, just like as a concept. Mm-hmm. It is a real mix of despair and hope because it can be really gray and frigid, but it can also be really sunny and warm. And you have the flowers showing up and doing their thing, but then also maybe getting killed by like an errant spring snowstorm.
Yeah, so, by like a random frost.
Yeah. So like I have to say that like I don't dislike spring, I think, as much as you do maybe, but I do feel like it isn't putting its best foot forward as a season, and it could be a little bit – I think it should lean more into how it's ushering in winter and less into how it's the tail and sorry, how it's ushering in summer and how it's less about how it's the tail end of winter. Like lean into the summer thing more spring.
Oh,
you know?
Interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Like overpower the winter.
Yeah.
In a way, because you're right. It comes out so strong and then there's like 145 degree and it can't hang. It's like this is your time. March 20th has come and gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I just, you, Windsor can't have you anymore. You got it.
I know.
Yeah, it's like grow up.
I know. Grow up. Be more pre-summer than post-winter is how I feel about it. As far as doing spring cleaning, I don't really, but usually what happens is that like someone will like tweet about how they're like doing, they're like cleaning out their closet, or someone will text, like a friend will be like, oh, I just did some spring cleaning. And then I'll be like, oh man, I should do that.
Oh, you're easily influenced.
I'm easily influenced because like you said, it's called spring cleaning for a reason. So I'm sure that I'll like, I actually recently went through my closet and donated a lot of stuff, but you know, maybe I'll do that again. It's also a good time for some big cleaning projects that I'm always avoiding. So yeah, I think I could get into that.
Okay.
Cleaning. Yeah.
What's a big clean? What kind of project have you been avoiding? Just to know.
So, two things. One, I think they're called baseboards.
Yeah, they, yes. Yes, they are.
And they just get really, really, really kind of dusty and crusty. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that. And then the other thing is our cabinets in our kitchen are, I think because of like when we cook stuff and the air gets like, they get like kind of a light film on them. And then the cat, they get cat fur on them. I mean, I'm describing something that sounds horrific. It's not, it's
no, can, I know what you mean.
You can only really see it when it's like super sunny out. But like lately we've had a couple of sunny afternoons and I've noticed that there's like a lot of like dust and fur sticking to the cabinets. And I need to get down there with Magic Cabinet and just like do some wiping.
What is Magic Cabinet?
Oh my God, Magic Cabinet is like my favorite cleaning product in part because it's called Magic Cabinet.
I mean, it really, I'm Googling right now, Magic Cabinet. Okay. Yeah.
So
tell me more.
I think it's called Magic Cabinet, right? Yeah.
Magic Cabinet and Wood. Well, it's called Magic and then it's Cabinet and Wood.
Whoops. I've been calling it Magic Cabinet this whole time.
Okay.
That's so funny.
So are your cupboards like wooden, I guess?
Yeah. So the cupboards we use Magic Cabinet for. This makes a lot of sense because
you have to keep calling it that.
Also a Magic Cabinet for stainless steel that I use for like our appliances. And now I've been calling it Magic Cabinet, but for stainless steel. Now it makes more sense. It's just called Magic.
Amazing.
But yeah, I really love these products because they do exactly what they're supposed to do and they don't smell really bad and chemically. And they come out as a kind of a foamy spray, which just makes it's there's not a lot of dripping and streaking. They're just like easy to like clean with. So highly recommend Magic Cabinet for both wood and they make a stainless steel one. So if you have like if you have like wooden cupboards, if you have like a wood table, wooden desk, like whatever, you can use Magic Cabinet on anything wood.
Magic Cabinet. Okay. I will look into this. Baseboards are a big thing. I feel like growing up, that was a big thing in my parents' house. My mom, actually, I talked to her on the phone today right before we recorded, and she even name dropped her own baseboards. It's a thing. She's like, I cleaned the baseboards. There was a meme a few years ago and it was like moms. It was like everyone going to someone else's house for Thanksgiving. Like, oh, the food smells amazing. Oh, like those flowers are beautiful and like what moms think is happening. And it's like your baseboards are disgusting. Because I remember before holidays, it was like that was the thing we all had to do was like each of us were like, you know, I don't feel like anyone trusted us to clean the baseboards because it's like we're not going to do it right the first time or whatever. But it was an oft talked about task.
Yeah. I think this is the first place I've ever lived like as an adult with baseboards. So this is the first time I've ever had to like clean them. And it's just like, I guess that it's like a decor. I guess that it's kind of an aesthetic flourish to have them. But part of me is like, why do I have this thing just exists for me to clean? Like it gets dirty and then I clean it. What are we doing here?
Well, I feel that way about most things, you know, and it's like, you said it, but it's right on the money. The thing maybe I don't like about spring is that when it is sunnier for more of the day, when the sun stays shining through my window for more of the day, I'm like, you know, in the winter, I can't actually see all the dust on this particular thing. And in the spring, it's like an unavoidable, the stickiness.
It's rough. It's
even
rough
things
what
that
the
just
sun
look
shows you.
Clean when the lights are off. The sun says not so fast.
It does. And it's like, I'll like vacuum and mop the kitchen floor. And then the sun comes out and it shows me how filthy it actually is. And I'm just like, we need to either never clean this floor again or never walk on it again. Like one of the two. Because
one of the two. Because this stuck is not sustainable.
I'm stuck in an endless cycle of suffering.
Yeah. And honestly, it's like, don't call it spring cleaning. Just call it cleaning. Because that's all I feel like I'm doing. I'm not cleaning just in the spring. I'm cleaning all the time.
Yeah.
Constantly. I like a cleaning project. I'm excited to know about Magic Cabinet. I love that you call it Magic Cabinet.
What's really funny is that
so funny.
I recommended this on Oh, I Like That. I spent like a whole episode talking with Rachel about Magic Cabinet, and at no point did either of us discover that that's in fact not what it was called. But
so
yeah,
she also thought it was called Magic Cabinet. I mean, yeah, I guess it is called Magic Cabinet. I've just never looked at it that way, I guess.
No, she like rolled with it. I don't think it's called Magic Cabinet. I think it's like proven by the fact that if you do like the stainless steel one, then it's Magic Stainless Steel, you know?
Yeah, Magic is the brand name and then it tells you what it's for. But like technically I'm using Murphy's, you know, oil soap is the same way that you would say I'm using Magic Cabinet. The brand is Magic. It's for your cabinet. But say and looking at the can of Magic Cabinet, I'm not seeing Magic Cabinet, but saying Magic Cabinet, it just changes everything.
It changes everything. It makes it a really fun product. It is called that.
Is your birthday the 2nd or the 3rd of April?
The 2nd.
Okay, I need to know this. So, okay. So what are your birthday plans?
So the thing is, I really love my birthday, but I always have kind of a hard time figuring out exactly how I want to spend it. Do I want to do something just with Andrea? Do I want to hang out with friends? And then by the time I kind of make a decision and like reach out to people, it's sort of too late and people have plans. So it's always a little bit of it's a bit of a harrowing process every year. It used to be when we were in New York, it was very easy to be like, oh, let's go out to dinner. Let's do a thing together. But it's a little bit harder in Philly. So I have a really hard time figuring out what to do. However, I did finally make a plan last night. So me and Andrea and my friend Jen's coming in from she lives in New Jersey a couple hours away. So she's making the trip, which rules.
Nice.
Yeah. And we're going to go to an escape room in Old City.
Okay.
Which I've never done before, and I'm really psyched because I'm a dork and I like games and shit.
You do love games and shit.
Yeah, so you can choose all of these ones where it's like you have to chase a serial killer, and I was like, that's a hard pass. And then there's one that was like Lust and Lace, Adults Escape Room, and I was like, no to that.
Well, okay.
but then there was another one that's like, it's the dystopian future. A computer is in charge of everything. And I was like, that's the one.
That's the one.
So we're going to do that. Andrea's going to make me this coffee cake that she makes that I really like. So I'm psyched about that.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. And we'll just like, I'm going to play video games with my friend Kenny. So I have a bunch of like little things picked out. And then otherwise just try to make it go on as long as possible, because on April 3rd, every year I wake up and I'm like, I'm just a regular schmuck again. And my birthday isn't for 364 days. This sucks.
Wow. That's so – okay. I've always wondered what it's like to have a birthday that is not on top of a holiday, because I am on top of Thanksgiving. So it's always like involved in the – and I love that because I get to see my family and I get to see, you know, friends from home. And it's always actually been nice and it feels very festive. And it also means that like similarly, I get to pick what we want to do. And usually it's like holiday related. Lottie, what are you doing? She's like poking around like something's about to happen soon. But I love the idea of – oh, hold on one second. What's going on, Lottie? Hold on a minute. We have a whiner in the house.
So just to narrate what's going on for people listening, Carol – oh, I think Caroline can still hear me. She's wearing headphones.
I can hear you.
She can hear me. Okay, amazing. So Caroline just got up and is investigating the source of a sound, I believe. She left the house. Is she coming back? We'll find out. Stay tuned. Okay, she's coming back. I'm getting a thumbs up. What else can I tell you? I'm seeing very tasteful decor.
We have a pooping dog.
We have a pooping dog. I've been updating. I'm hearing reports. I'm live in the field, and I'm getting reports that we have a pooping dog. I assume that it's Lottie, but maybe not. Maybe it's another dog. Who knows? Who can say? What else can I tell you?
Right now, it's Lottie. It could be another dog soon.
Right now, okay, it's Lottie. Right now, I wonder how this is going to be for listeners. I wonder if they can hear Caroline. Caroline's coming back in. She's closing the door behind her. She has a pack, a container that she's opening. She has really nice, really like cute green headphones on, which I'm really into. Kind of a, like a, how would you describe that green? It's like a mint, maybe?
More like an olive.
It's an olive. So I was really far off, but that's okay. Okay, Caroline just took some food out of a container and put it on the floor. I'm assuming it's for Lottie, but maybe
– there is a bowl on the floor. It doesn't
okay,
go right
because I couldn't
floor.
See the yeah. bowl, so I thought maybe you were just like putting food down there.
Lottie's been in a – I've been supplementing, you know, and you know, as a cat parent.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have human children, the budget for what you will do for your pets is – wide open spaces. And right now I've been supplementing Lottie's meals with ground turkey and peas because she is a brat. And
this is the
human
kind
food.
Of catering to one's pets that I can get behind. This is
she
like,
heard
this
the
is
word
how-
Thanksgiving and got all excited and had to go outside and poop.
Oh yeah. Well that happens to all of us.
Really gets your insides going. But I think it's cool that you have a birthday, Sally, that is just its own standalone celebratory event.
Yeah, it's its own thing. My only complaint about my birthday is that you can't really – it's hard to predict what the weather is going to be. I feel like when you have a birthday in the winter or the summer, you're like, I know what our options are for what we're going to do. But sometimes it's like, you know, frigid. You know, like we were talking about with spring. Sometimes it feels more like post-winter than pre-summer.
You had a cold birthday last year, if I'm remembering correctly. I feel like you were going to do something outside and it ended up being too cold.
That was I think 2 years ago, you're remembering.
Wow.
And it was like, yeah, it was like we had all these grand plans because it was still like a time in the pandemic when I think it was actually like right before vaccines were like widely available.
Right. It was in between everyone's like first and second
yeah.
shots.
Yeah. So yes. it just like there wasn't like a lot to do. So we were like, oh, we'll spend the day doing this outside stuff. And it was just like frigid and windy. And we were like, absolutely not. Fuck this.
Too much. Yeah.
Way too much. So, but this
what
year.
What was your favorite? No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so this year we'll do the escape room and I think it'll be great.
That is going to be really fun. I can't wait for you to report back.
Yeah. Or it'll be like terrible and that'll be fun to talk about.
Sure. It'll be great either way. Even exactly. if it's bad, it'll be great. And I will make sure we'll do a Sally appreciation thread in the Facebook group. Just so everyone knows. Because is there nothing better? And that time has really kind of passed us where you would like log into Facebook and see everyone leaving you messages. Now it's not really like that anymore. But
yeah.
I feel like we could kind of recreate that moment in the Facebook group.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Did you have a favorite birthday party growing up as a kid, like where you got to go to like one of those, I don't know, like roller skating places or like laser tag places or I don't know, like what was like your most like memorable, epic birthday?
Well, let me tell you that because of when my birthday is, it sometimes falls on Passover. And so I had a lot of birthdays as a kid where we had to have kosher for Passover birthday cake, which
sure, right.
Sucked.
Your matzah cake. Your
it's like worst birthday
cakes.
Party ever.
That does but sort of hinder the fun.
It's a buzzkill when you're a kid.
A little bit.
Yeah. But My favorite birthday party was when I guess I was probably like 11 or 12. My brother, uh-huh, Nick made like a murder mystery for my friends and I.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, nowadays, you know, you can go – you can do like participatory like murder mystery.
Nowadays you can hire Nick to do a murder mystery.
Nowadays you can hire Nick. He's a professional right. murder mystery planner. But in those days, it wasn't as common. But he did this whole thing and everyone got a role like of like who they were and what they had to like do and stuff like that. And that was just so cool.
That is cool. What a cool brother.
Yeah. He's still with us. He's an awesome brother.
Yeah.
And I, that was really, really, really fun. The other one I was remembering recently is like someone posted in the Facebook group about how to celebrate their 30th. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Yep, I did.
It brought me back to my 30th birthday party where I could tell I was like coming down with a cold, like my throat started to get scratchy. But this was back in the days of like, you didn't cancel plans if you were sick. You just were like, hey,
yeah, you were like, oh, I'm sick. Don't come near me.
Right. So I decided, I was like, I'm not missing like going out for my 30th birthday. Like I'm just going to – I remember saying I'm just going to ride till the wheels fall off. And the wheels fell off so profoundly hard because we went out to dinner. We went out for drinks. We went out drinking. Like it was one of those like get carried into bed by a friend nights. And when you do that at the same time as you're coming down with something, I woke up the next day and was like, I think I'm dying. Like I'm dying of the common cold because
what
I was
an easy
so,
way to fast track illness.
So I was like 100 like
to,
right
over drink while being like under the weather.
Totally. It's like let me just fast forward to through the part where it's like I spend a couple days coming down with something. You just go from zero to like the sickest you've ever been in your life.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So that was a memorable birthday.
But you're still young and you think you can handle it. And 30 will teach you you can't. I mean, that's the first year of not being able to handle anything.
Yeah, totally. Do you have any memorable birthday?
Well, my 30th birthday was definitely on a Monday. And I remember I had it at a bar in Cobble Hill. So it was like two blocks from my house. And Dan and I like threw this party at this bar that was like totally empty because it was a Monday. And I was like, it starts at 6:30, like come right after work. Don't wear your going out outfit. And then in the invitation, I said, I'm leaving at 9.
That's
so
amazing.
Like come whenever you want. But like if you come at 9:30, I'm not going to be there. So act accordingly. When I was 5, we did a birthday party. I did a birthday party at a place called Discovery Zone.
Oh yeah. Now, I remember that place.
Do you remember
Discovery
Zone? Was that like a thing? Oh, right. Because you know what? The one that I went to was in Connecticut. So even if it was a Connecticut heavy thing. Wait, no, you didn't grow up in Connecticut.
Yeah, Andrea, I did.
You did?
No, I did. I grew up in New Haven. Andrea grew up outside of Boston.
Okay, right. Okay, you're the New Haven. I always forget which one of you. You know what it is? It's because Andrea's last name is my mom's maiden name. And my grandfather also grew up in New Haven. So for a while, I was like, there's a possibility we are.
Related. Are you and Andrea related?
We could be. That could be my next activity. Honestly.
Do 23andMe. Have you done that before?
I have. And it was like you're 50% Irish and 50% Eastern European Jew. And I was like, I want 100% of my money back because I knew that already.
I know.
Like, there was nothing interesting.
if you're an Ashkenazi Jew, 23andMe is just like, I don't know what to tell you. You're Jewish.
It's a great way to burn $79.
It totally is.
And if you're 100% Irish, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, that's it. You're Irish. And it's like, okay, well, I'm both. But Discovery Zone in Danbury, Connecticut was where I had this birthday party.
Oh, so nice. Okay.
If it was just a Connecticut thing, you would know. Now I can only see places like that as like, oh my God, like a petri dish of illness.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
And just wiping, like licking your hands and then, you know, touching. But as a child, it couldn't have been cooler, like a foam block pit and just so cool. And I loved it. And I just, that was the best party ever. And I think I was either 5 or 6. So, you know, as is a 90s child. We invited all the – when I was 5, I think we invited everybody in the class, boys and girls. And then, of course, by the time you're 6, it's like just girls.
Yeah.
Because
well,
that
– not for me, but yes, I know that that's a typical thing.
But that's cool that that wasn't like, I don't think anyone like forced it on me, but it was definitely like suggested. You know what I mean? Well, like,
yeah, because you get to that age in school where they start sex segregating everything for some reason. And it's just like, why? I actually ran into this. This was like probably 10 years ago, but I was working at a coffee shop and an old teacher of mine came into the coffee shop and I was like, oh my God, Dot, like, it's me, Sally. And Dot was like, oh yeah, you're the one who played with the boys at soccer at recess. You played soccer with the boys at recess. And I was like, yep. And it was just like such a reminder that if you know what I mean? That like everything is so sex segregated that if you do something not with the quote unquote other girls, like everyone remembers you for life. That's like the defining thing.
That is so funny and actually very true. And I also just – I think teachers are different now. I think it's just a different time. I think that like depending on where you are, I just don't think that's that much of a thing anymore. But I do remember like that being a really big thing between – you know, between being 5 and between being 8.
Yeah.
It's only 3 years, but all of a sudden it's like I lived in a neighborhood that had like, there were like 6 kids in my grade living in this neighborhood. And there were like 3 girls and no, I guess it was 5 of us, 3 girls, 2 boys. And we hung out all the time. And then all of a sudden 1 year it was like, we will not be hanging out with them.
Totally.
And we could not be hanging out with them.
You know, I played on a co-ed soccer team for like my whole childhood. And there was always like 1 or 2 girls. And then when I got to like 6th or 7th grade, even those like 1 or 2 girls were gone. It was just like me and all the boys. Like
you were steadfast.
I wasn't fucking around. I was like, no. I love soccer. I'm bad at it, but I love it. I'm not going to stop playing.
I was bad at it, and so therefore I didn't love it. Were you not a competitive child?
No, I wasn't. Oh, okay. I'm not a competitive adult either. Also, some of my best friends like in life still are from that soccer team. So I was just like, I wanted to like hang out with my friends. We were so bad. We were like the Bad News Bears. It was about just like getting out there and like being goofy, not like being good at a sport.
Didn't matter if you won or lost. It was about sort of like just having fun.
It was just about having fun, and everyone. Well, if you told me,
I'd be like, actually, that's bullshit, and it is about winning and losing. And I lost, and I'm gonna cry. Oh my god, rue the day someone put me in as goalie and I let a goal through. I cried for like days.
That's like that's so hard as a kid because it's totally not just the goalie's fault because it has to get through so many people to get to the goalie, but it does feel like you're the one who let it happen. I don't think I could like mentally withstand that.
I still technically think I was, but I also was like not willing to dive for a ball. I was not willing to like get dirty. So like, yeah, if the ball came at me, I would do my best to stop it. But if I was standing, you know, on the left side of the goal and the ball shot right, I was like, there is truly nothing I could do here. So you, and you know, it's not the World Cup. The ball is moving really slowly.
Really slow.
And I still would not try to do – I didn't want to get dirty.
Yeah, I mean, so I think it's possible that you maybe weren't a good fit for goalie, but I don't think that should be held against you.
You know, and I agree, but still, when I go home and I walk down the street, I hear people whispering, do you remember?
In 1993,
there was a really fucked up soccer game. Yeah, she's the one. Well, I'm excited for you, and I'm excited that you enjoy your birthday so much. I think there's really something nice about – I really am always confused by adults who are like, oh, I don't really care about my birthday. I'm like, you got to care about your birthday.
I have to say that like when people say they don't care about their birthday, I suspect that
they really care and they're trying to see how much you care.
That like they haven't had someone in their life make their birthday feel really special, which I feel like is kind of the same line of thinking as like when you tell someone that you're gay and they're like, you just haven't met the right man yet. It's like very presumptuous and like unfair.
Well, but I still say that to you, Sally.
You do say that to me all the time. but I value your insight a lot. So I'm okay with it because you could be right.
Right, because you know I'm right.
I know you're right.
No, that's so true. Or like, I mean, look, if you don't care about your birthday, you don't care about your birthday. But I deep down really hope that people who say they don't care about their birthday aren't really secretly hoping for something really special to happen.
Well, but here's the thing. I think some of them like totally aren't. I think that they totally don't care about their birthday or feel neutral about it. But I think that they would if they had a really good birthday. And I'm not talking about – there are people who have like – trauma around their birthdays and stuff. Sure. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who are like, I don't hate my birthday. I don't mind people knowing it's my birthday. I just don't really care if like anyone right. does anything for my birthday. Sure. I feel like yeah. if those people had a really awesome birthday experience, the next year they wouldn't be like, I don't care about my birthday. They would be like,
I want to repeat what happened last year.
I want
year.
That. Yeah, totally.
Okay. Well, then we're going to leave this episode with a call to action, which will be like, we'll start a birthday thread in the group. And I want to know how many people are birthday people and how many people aren't.
Great.
And maybe we can turn people into the other side. Like, let's make people birthday people.
Yeah. Let's do
some conversion therapy.
Let's do conversion therapy.
Some conversion birthday therapy.
If I was like independently wealthy and I needed something to like spend my money on, yeah. I would like start a business giving people like a really good birthday experiences. And it doesn't have to be like lavish. It doesn't have to be like you're going to go zip line through like the Amazon and then you're going to like right. ride an elephant. It doesn't have to be that. It can just be like you just like have a really cute thing that's focused yeah. just on you.
I just like letting people say, and what I usually not demand on my birthday, but what usually happens on my birthday is Dan will just be like, you know, he'll make me the food that like, it's like I get anything it's like what I say goes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we have limited complaining from anyone else. But usually Dan will like ask me what meal I want and then I will pick my meal and Dan will cook it because Dan's a good cook. And like, that's always really nice, like not having to worry. I don't know. It always feels very celebratory.
Yeah.
Or even like picking the show or like, where do you want to go or what do you want to do?
Everyone has to do everything you want and nothing you
don't
want.
I'm the birthday princess and what I say goes and it's a day of me. A lot of times too is my birthday would be the day that we would get our Christmas tree because Dan, being Jewish, wasn't always – super hype to go get a Christmas tree. But if it was my birthday, I would be like, we're getting the Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah. That's a good call. That's a really good way of getting around that.
Exactly. It's actually kind of the only way of getting around that. So I'd love to hear from you about your birthday wishes. We'll make a thread for Sally. We'll make a thread for birthday people. I want to hear about Magic Cabinet, if anyone has any experience with Magic Cabinet. But I'm glad we're back. This feels nice.
Me too. I missed you.
I missed you too. It was the right amount of time for me to take a little bit of a break. And there were some false alarms where I was like, I'm ready to record. And then I'd wake up the next day and be like, Sally, the vibes are not good. I cannot do it. But I do feel like I'm back. So this is good. We hibernated in the winter and now we are those little tulips just sprouting for spring, hoping the frost won't come and kill us.
Totally. Yeah, I firmly believe that podcasting is a vibes-based enterprise. And so if the vibes
really
don't feel
is.
Right, you just don't record. You just keep moving and do it next time.
Exactly. If you try to record when the vibes are off, joke's on you. Joke is on you because you're not going to get a good episode out of that.
Truer words have never been spoken.
I know. And that says a lot because all I do is speak true words.
That's so true.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry.
Exactly.
I didn't. Yeah. Well, I guess I just proved my own point.
Exactly. Sally, I'm pumped to be back. I'll see you next week for another episode. I look forward to celebrating your birthday and hearing about the dystopian escape room that you will be partaking in.
I can't wait to tell you about it.
I've never done an escape room, so I'm looking forward to hearing about it. And we'll see all of y'all next week for another episode. And I can actually say that with confidence that next week will be a new episode. Hey. So guess what, baby? We're back.
We're back.
Thanks, Caroline, for listening. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No. When you're done.
I was just going to say thanks for listening.
Thanks. Thank you for listening. I second that emotion.
Amazing.
You just listened to another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, edited and mixed by Veronica Gruba and produced and hosted by me, Caroline Moss. In between episodes, you can always head to the G-Thanks Instagram at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod and the G-Thanks Facebook group to get and give life-changing recommendations of your own. Subscribe to our weekly sale and discount emails at gthanks.substack.com. It's free. And you can reach me at caroline@gthanksjustboughtit.com or leave me a message at 424 2 4-5 0736 with a product recommendation, and you may be featured on an upcoming episode. GThanks is powered by subscribers like you. To keep all of our GThanks content free and accessible to all, consider making a monthly donation of $2 to keep us going at patreon.com/GThanks and friends.